Hey, this is Lucas Ryder, executive producer and the writer of episode 802, Katerina Ristova. You're listening to The Blacklist Exposed on Golden Spiral Media.
The mother of all answers is TV eye makeup runs when you cry just like any other makeup. Welcome to the award-winning The Blacklist Exposed podcast. I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs.
And I'm Agent Aaron Peterson. Welcome back for another edition of I Saw This and Troy Saw That, as well as These Are the Days of Our Lives. Thank you for joining us yet again as number three on the Blacklist, Katerina Ristova, reached her conclusion. If, you know, that was Katerina Ristova, or just a lady we called Katerina Ristova. You know, we're going to talk about that in a little bit. It was written by Lucas Rader and directed by Stephanie and Mark Quart. Did I say that right?
I hope so.
Show notes and other intel for this episode of The Blacklist Exposed can be found at theblacklistexposed.com.
I mean, it only took you 8 years, but, you know, you finally got one.
I get there. That's what happens when I don't think about it. I think that's my problem. I need to think about it.
Well, you all just experienced what Aaron and I experienced, and I think you're going to be in for a real big treat this evening, because I don't know where we're going to go with this one, because it's all over the map, and we're going to have some fun with it. But if you're new to the show, welcome. We are Troy and Aaron, as mentioned, and the way we do this is we actually go through a little bit of fun first. We ask this profiling question every single week, and so we go through the answers to our case profile question, and then we get into the actual case profile for the episode, where we'll discuss everything about Katerina Ristova conclusion, all the ins, the outs, the ups, the downs, the backwards, the sideways, and every hallucination that I might have through the course of the explanation. And then we will get into our fun time where we actually talk to you, the audience, with our special agent intel, as well as feature some of the best scenes from this week's episode in Red's rhetoric, which may be changing. You'll have to stick around and find out.
Excellent. You know what else we do is if we say you're getting answers, you're going to get them.
We will tell you everything we know, guarantee. Black here, and white.
Here at the old Blacklist Exposed podcast, if we say you're getting the mother of all answers and that's going to be revealed, you're going to get it. So by the end of this episode, we're going to reveal any answers that have been answered. Any questions that have been answered?
I think we've been pretty upfront with the audience the entire time.
Who?
Like, they already know I'm a dum-dum and I'm a dork and an idiot and everything else you've called me under the sun.
Oh, God. So we're just going to make us a pity train?
And they're all true.
Poor Troy. Poor Troy is always a victim.
Well, it's probably going to be one of those victim nights, right? It's going to be a Team Aaron, Team Troy contest, I'm sure, as this goes along.
Maybe. I mean, I like the episode. I have some issues. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's just get into it. NBC Marketing, you suck. I'm just going to be really nice and say, you suck. You do this all the time. I don't blame Sony, and I don't blame the showrunners, because they don't have any control of that. They don't make the marketing. But the marketing always does that.
Always. They're like,
you'll get an answer here. You'll get an answer there. No, it's going to be there's different answer. Like somebody, I can't remember who it was, but it was on Facebook, in our Facebook group, The Blacklist Exposed. And so someone was all excited, which, hey, you're fans. You should be excited, man. You love this show. Get excited. And they were saying, Aaron, did you see the trailer? I'm like, no, I didn't see it. You got to see it. The mother of all answers will be revealed. Of course, indicating it's going to be Red Arena or something. And haha, you're going to know. And I just went, LOL. Like, no, it won't. I'm not stupid. How long have you been watching this show? If and when it will be revealed, it will be at the end of the season / series / whatever. It won't be episode 2. It just won't.
And for any new listeners, we have to give real answers. So Aaron does not typically watch the next week on segment of the show.
I don't. I did watch this one because someone asked me to, and I did laugh out loud. So, I mean, it was a genuine, it wasn't that fake LOL that you just tell your friends so they stop sending you messages. It was a real one.
And we've also said numerous times on this show how NBC marketing, especially in the scenes for next week portion of the marketing, has always lied to the audience. They do their job very well.
I mean, they're trying to hook you.
Everybody comes and goes, I got to see that episode. And then they all come for the episode. But then you don't actually get the mother of all answers.
Yeah, I did call that Don was talking about Katerina in the promo. Did you call that?
No, but I, if I remember right, if I went back to the tape from last week, you said that she's going to tell Liz off screen.
That's what
Liz
I was hoping
will have the
for.
Answers, but it actually ended up being Katerina. But you were 50% of the way there.
Yeah. By the time I started it, I'm like, oh, no, it's going to be Katarina. That makes more sense. Because once I knew the title, I'm like, well, she dead. Sorry. I mean, it just felt like that was the way it was going to go. Oh, by the way, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched the episode, but that's really on you.
Yes.
Also, Troy's the nice one. All right, so let's go to our profiling question from the previous week, which was, give us your theory. Who is this version of Raymond Reddington? Troy, what do we got?
Yeah, there was a little bit of a poll that was put up by one of our members of the Blacklist Exposed Facebook group, and I thought this was kind of funny. So overwhelmingly, the people have spoken and said that Red is just Red. Now, whether that means Red is the original Raymond Reddington or Red is just his own person today, can't tell from this answer, but majority of the people are just like, I'm just good with Red as Red.
Well, you know what? Thankfully, we're in 2020 and what the people say doesn't matter anymore. So the second runner-up is Red is Katarina / Red Arena. But it's not even close.
Yeah, there's overwhelmingly close. Like Red is Red clearly was the winner. We don't even need to certify election results in this one. It's pretty straightforward.
Election humor. That's how you lose people.
But the third one on the list here is that Red is a color.
Really?
I could buy that one.
That actually came in third?
Yes.
Oh, my Lord. All right.
And your favorite. And I left this one to be Aaron's because this is also an answer that Aaron does not like this concept, but he's going to read number four anyway because that's what I do to him.
Red is a clone, a.k.a. a twin, a.k.a. shut up. I just, no, I hate that idea. Hate it. Hated it.
Number five. Go ahead and read number five there, Aaron, too.
I'm just waiting. If that were the case, like what? He just pops up out of nowhere. Dom never mentioned him. Katarina, nobody ever mentioned this random twin brother. Come on. Yeah, it's not soap opera.
But he doesn't like twins at all, but he'll still talk about it for an entire hour.
True. Then we have got Red is Keen.
So like
I don't get that one.
Like Red.
Tom Keen's dad or something?
Tom Keen's dad or Liz Keen's dad or.
Yeah. Well, I don't like that one. Well, I don't go along with that one. And what's the last one? The
last one I thought was very clever. Red is sus, and he may be an imposter.
Does that mean suspect?
No, that means if you've played all the craze of the new game, Among Us, on iOS or PC.
I have not.
That is literally like Red is a character in the game, and they could be an imposter. And I thought it was kind of
like an NPC or something?
No, Red is like one of you, like you're one of the 10 players.
And
you're trying to find out who is the imposter.
Over my head. Well, also, Judy said this little diatribe. I think Red was a nobody. A low-level operative or maybe even personal security for Katarina. I don't think he's family-related. I think his link to Liz will be from something that happened the night of the fire. Most likely something he did or didn't do that ended up causing the death of Reddington. Liz's father. Masha killed her father, but whoever Red was perhaps accidentally caused the gun to be available to Masha, or in some other way allowed the shooting to happen. I like the Red UN monologue about Cary Grant because I think it was a reference to Red having been a nobody who made himself into this huge Red Arena persona. Or I'm sorry, Red...
Whoa!
Whoa.
There's a Freudian
into this huge Reddington persona. I like the I think Red was a nobody, and that would be really... I think that would be really exciting. Just make sure J.J. Abrams doesn't write the series finale. What? Think about it.
That is so mean and so wrong. Don't you complain about my God.
Because then we retcon it.
Anyways, don't forget to answer our profiling question for next week. Things are going to be nuclear because apparently the Blacklist is only here for two episodes and we're taking a hiatus already. And we're not going to be back until January 22nd. For episode 3. So there's a lot of time to debate this over the holidays, since most of us will be cooped up in our houses once again. Was this indeed # real cat or # fake cat?
Okay, and we'll talk more about the real cat, fake cat when we get there, but I got to ask you about that whole delay.
Yes.
Why? Wouldn't you just start it in January?
And if you're starting it on January 22nd, why... Well, that's what you just said, right? Why not start 2 weeks earlier and start it on the 8th?
I literally just said that, but that's cool. You can claim it for yourself.
Because I don't listen. That's also an answer on the show. Yeah, yeah, I mean, we did it for season 6. Like, why wouldn't you just come back January 8th and just start from there?
Yeah, and I love that when they did it that season. It was really cool. It felt like a roller coaster, you know, just bam, 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 bam. And this I mean, granted, at least it left you with enough of a hook to where you're like, all right, that'll bring me back. On the same token, it just feels like a weird scheduling thing. Why would you bring it back? I guess November sweeps, maybe. They just needed something to fill.
Could be. It's a very good answer.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just feel like it felt disjointed. I mean, if you would have had like 4 episodes, okay, but 2 just feels way too short for, then you get a month and a half, basically, it's almost 2 months, really.
Yeah, really. So,
you know, it is 2 months. 2 months break.
Well, wow. The one way you could look at it, too, is maybe they reworked, since they had to rework some of the story from the 3 episodes that they didn't have last season to bring some of that information into season 7 to make it a finale, then maybe this is just like, you know, this is 7B. This was the 2 episodes to finish off season 7, and then season 8 truly starts January 22nd.
You're stuck on that. I'm telling you, they said 3 episodes, and it would be 3 episodes, but you just want to keep making it 2.
This feels like this would have been the series finale, though.
I don't think so. I think number 3
would, not series would finale, have been the but season finale for 7. Sorry.
No, the way that I understood it from the interview is that the 3rd episode would have been the season finale. But whatever, we'll never know, right? John knows. He's the only one that knows. So Whenever he comes back, we can ask him that.
For sure.
Since you don't believe me that I read it like 3 times in different interviews.
But still but weird. So be it. Still weird.
It is weird. It's definitely weird, but at least it's enough to bring you back. And, you know, there's definitely a hook there. All right, let's get into the actual episode. That's what people come here for.
That's right. So we go into our case profile.
Okay, Katerina Rostova, conclusion. Liz helps. Here's like, we're going to go mostly through the characters because that's what we want to get to. But here's what happened in this episode. It was really mostly a chase episode. Liz helps Kat steal Dom to get the answers, and Dom hallucinates a bunch. I remember, hallucinates a bunch. Was he really seeing his daughter Katerina as he looks at modern day Kat? Was it the same person? Hold that thought. Then Liz goes to Wrestler for help. Red was already on it because Dembe did the coolest freaking plant I've seen in a long time on his lapel. And he basically tracks Wrestler's movements, finds Liz that way, and pins her down. He uses her words with Wrestler to help find Dom and then sweeps in. But it's a bit too late because Dom is dead. Then Red hunts Katerina down by finding out exactly where her last move was, and they confront each other. He kills Katerina in front of Liz. I gotta say, it's kind of a sad moment when he confronts Katerina because you can tell she knows she's been beaten and she knows what's going to happen. And it's a kind of, I felt like that was a sad moment overall. But that's basically what overall, that's the crux of the episode. That's the whole plot. Now we kind of want to break it down by character because that's where we can get into the details. And this one has a lot.
But I want to ask you this question first.
Okay.
So you said kills Katerina in front of Liz.
Yeah, Liz was standing right there.
We saw Liz standing there. So my question to you is, do you feel that Red saw Liz before he pulled the trigger, or did Red see Liz after he pulled the trigger? Because it's hard to tell in the way the camera shot was going.
The way it was shot, it doesn't, I mean, he definitely recognizes her after it, but they don't show that he acknowledges her beforehand. But the way that the angle that she was and where her AKA alleged mom is, I can't see any way he doesn't see her. And in that respect, you know, I would have to wonder, did he shoot her because Liz was there because he needed to shoot her before she said anything, or was it after, you know, or did he not see her and he just saw her after? I don't know the answer to that because I don't think they gave a good tell.
You know, and I think that's the one thing from this episode that I absolutely love the most is that, I don't know what that actually ended up being. Like, did
it matter?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it goes into Red's psyche a little bit, right? Because is this, I'm killing her because I don't want her to talk. I'm killing her because of the way she said, you can't stand the fact that she thinks I'm her mother or whatever she said. I don't have the exact quote in front of me. And if that just pissed him off and that's what made him pull the trigger, or if he pulled the trigger to prove a point to Liz to say, I told you to stay the F out of this, right? You brought this on yourself. Boom. Sorry. She's gone now.
I don't think it was that. I do think he would have killed her no matter what because he couldn't have her talk to Liz.
Sure.
I mean, he doesn't know about the serious voicemail that she left, where it's going to be the conversation we already heard, unless there's something that was uttered between breaks or something.
Do you think that voicemail is going to come back into play?
Well, of course it. Yes. What a dumb question. You dumb dumb. Why would you think they would show us that and then it never comes up again? That would be so weird.
I'm just saying.
Where's the voicemail? Like, that didn't hit. Like, just Liz got a new phone and she got a new service. She just never checked her voice. Yeah, of course it's going to come into play.
Well, you know, there's a 30-day limit. You know, we're coming back in 2 months. So, you know, maybe the voicemail disappeared. So
she's on a lamb for when? I just want to know, is she just going to go back to that room and get her phone? Do they have to show that scene, or we're just going to have to make the assumption she went back and got it?
I know, because I noticed that, right? When she was, when Maddie Tolliver was in the parking lot and they were like, oh, we had to show her, like, go, oh, it's a, we heard the name, and then we see the little school thing, the bumper sticker on the back of the mm-hmm. car, so that it makes the conversation plausible. So yeah, I think from that perspective, she has to go back and actually go to the place where she left her phone.
Yep, she has to get her phone back.
Why did she leave her phone in the first place? That's the part I didn't understand.
I can't remember. Honestly, that's the part I don't remember off the top of my head, if it was in the car or in the room. I thought it was the room, but maybe when she was leaving Dembe, she left it in the car. Maybe that's where it was.
No, I think it was in the room. It looked like it was in the room on the table.
Yeah, that's what I thought, but I'm saying you asked a question. I'm not 100%, so that's why I'm just speculating. Let's get into characters.
Absolutely, and a masterful stroke, as always, by John Bissell and Dave Porter both this week. Dave's backing tracks were on point, setting the mood, and then that final pull of Martha's Dream by Nick Cave and Warren Ellis from the Proposition soundtrack.
Love that. Love it's a good track.
Man, that, like, the pause, the quiet moment as the gunshot, blam, blam. I mean, oh my gosh, so good. So good. Just like Justin Timberlake imitating Jimmy Fallon. So great. So great. The music is so good, and we have all of it on the playlists. You can go to our website, theblacklistexposed.com, and you'll be able to find playlists for both Apple Music and Spotify out there on the website.
Okay. Now let's go into our other characters. Now we start off with Cooper. Now, if you've never listened before, we always do our characters one by one because it just makes it easier. And when we get to Katerina, we're kind of going to do a court case. Tell you when we get there.
Is that you saying lawyer up?
Yeah, lawyer up. Get ready.
So this is your version of Adrian Shaw conclusion on the podcast?
It could be. I'm a much better lawyer than that. All right. So Cooper, imagine risking everything all to get answers you already have. That's a line that I appreciated. Because it's true. I say that pretty much on every episode. Especially when people comment that I should be nicer to Red and I should be harsher to Liz because she makes all these confusing decisions and, you know, he's the guy everybody likes. I'm like, yes, that's true, but he's also the villain. He is. He's a bad guy. He does bad things. He shoots people. He killed those security guards. They didn't do anything. They were just being security guards. They got point blank in the head, both of them. That's not cool. You could have tied them up. Why did you need to kill them? So, you know, think of it that way. And it's important to remember that the only reason Liz is acting so erratically, consistently, continuously, is because she has lost everything and she just wants answers. And this is the one person that could give them to her. And he could have done it 8 years ago.
Could have, but then we wouldn't have had as much fun as we've had over the last 8 years.
True, but I'm just saying. I mean, it's really... That's a great line because it's important to remember. And I like, you know, Red goes back and does the whole, we're not going to do this again, da 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 da, you know, puts it back. But it really, he doesn't take any responsibility for what he causes. I mean, he does in private with Dembe sometimes, but his actions don't show that he takes any responsibility to me as a fan.
And then he even has that conversation with Katerina at the end of the episode where it's like, I could have done more to keep you one step ahead. But your desire to get answers is what puts you in harm's way. So it's the same thing. It's like he could have done more. Just Red just chose not to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But
he's a bad
about
guy.
All.
He's a bad guy.
he's a bad guy. If he's a guy. All right. So go into Aram and Park. Just kidding. Aram and Park, they didn't do much this week. So I don't really know if there's much to mention there. So we could probably skip right over them. But let's go to Wrestler. Although, wait, I will say I did see Amir's Butterfinger commercials.
Finally. Oh, you did? You did finally?
Yeah. The investigative commercials for Butterfingers. They're kind of funny. It's cool seeing him as this hard-nosed detective trying to find Butterfingers. It's kind of funny. All right, so Wrestler, according to Red, Liz took advantage of his heart. That is maybe my favorite moment from the episode. Because the very subtle look down, look up, as he says, heart, is hilarious.
And I think it's great because they have this history between Wrestler and Reddington with the whole 5 years on the task force that they were chasing each other. And now he's getting this, like, he's getting this dig in, like, I'm gonna stick this one to you, Wrestler. I was like, that's so good. I laughed out loud.
Exactly. Okay, so Wrestler ends up meeting with Liz, and he says to her, and he's trying to reason with her, if you don't stop protecting her, you'll end up destroying yourself, which sure seems like Liz is on the way. But Wrestler does, importantly, turn Liz down. He does the right thing.
Is it the right thing, though?
Yeah, I would say it is.
Okay.
You don't think so? But you also don't think, you know, omitting is lying.
Omitting is not lying, because you haven't actually committed the lie.
Tell that to everybody who's having an affair in the world. Good job. All right, so I'm going to move on with that. But he did the right thing overall, I think.
From a job perspective, yeah, absolutely did the right thing. Now, in the relationship of Wrestler and Liz, you know, maybe he could have, like, maybe there was something he could have done to at least give more medical attention over to her grandfather.
Man, I didn't expect him to be in only two episodes, to be perfectly honest.
But Ron Reigns did a fantastic job.
He did. I mean, he didn't have much time to do it, but, you know, he did a very nice job. But I just expected, if they were recasting, it must have been a longer arc. But apparently, it was just two episodes.
Just important, enough to, just important to get stuff, the information
though.
Out.
Yeah, it's important stuff, though. Okay, so Dembe, that smooth plant I was talking about this episode, where he puts the tracker on
the lapel.
I love that. I love that so much. I don't know why. I just felt like that was so James Bond. I'm like, Dembe, smooth.
At the same time, you would think, like, Wrestler, you're an FBI agent and
pay attention.
It's like, yeah. you chase these guys for 5 years. It's like, how did you not know he was going to put a plant on your lapel?
Yeah, I would agree with that. Pay attention a little bit more. But, you know, he was frazzled because Red had just looked at his parts.
That's true. He called out his manlyhood and
yeah,
everything else.
Called his integrity into question. You can't do that. But he has a couple good moments in this episode. That plant was nice. And, you know, Dembe rarely says he's a man of few words. But he has that scene with where Liz dupes him. And he does say, you know, it isn't what it appears to be. That's very important. I think, you know, because he's once again saying Red is looking out for you. One more to feed the Katarina is not really the Katarina fire. But then Liz uses that. I really like that a lot because a lot of people get mad when Liz starts crying and stuff. They're like, oh, here we go again. And she used it to manipulate him and dupe him and take Dembe out of the car. And I thought that was a really good move. What did you think?
It was a super, like, headbutt. Bend over, just whack. It's like break his nose on the way up. It was pretty cool. And then she gets out of the car. And I love that too, where she hides next to the car. And Dembe's like, wait, where'd she go? She's not in the woods. I lost her. And then comes around and then she climbs back in the car to come back around. I thought that was brilliant, brilliant acting, brilliant scene and setup. All of it was great. Really, really great.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm looking forward to, I hope we get Maniac Liz. I really wanted to go on a murderous rampage. Just throw the character to the wind and just go crazy. I mean, she deserves to snap.
What do you think about Dembe, though, in this situation? Is he, because he's already kind of like gone against Red once or twice in the series up to this point. Do you think that he'll eventually side with Liz, or do you think he'll be loyal to Red to the end?
That's a good question. I think Dembe will be loyal to Red. I mean, he has so far. He tells Red what he wants to tell. And he understands and he knows. I don't think there's any chance of him slipping or anything.
I mean, he kind of almost did this episode because he did the lean over thing like, oh, Liz. Like, yeah. I know you're upset. I'll give you a hug.
Yep, I would agree with that.
So it's there. It's fragile. It's close.
Interesting stuff.
And he couldn't shoot her because he knows if he shoots her, that's going against Red. So he was literally in a pickle standing outside that car. Like, what do I do? And how the hell am I going to get home now?
I just like how he's pointing a gun at her. I'm like, why are you pointing a gun at her, man? That's just like cold. You know you're not going to shoot her. So why are you even bothering? That just felt wrong. That part was kind of a little harsh.
Yeah, plus he had no way to get home because he didn't have his phone to get an Uber because it was in the car.
You're really obsessed with this Uber thing. You know what? He'll find a ride. He's a very handsome man. I'm sure somebody will give him a lift.
No, he goes into the woods and then he just pops out of the woods in season 6 out of nowhere.
Weird. There's a time loop. All right, so we go into all the heart of everything we had this episode, really well, everything was centered around Dom, Red, Liz, and Katarina Rostova. So Dom is being tortured again, this poor guy. He's just had a real rough go of it.
Was he actually being tortured, though? Was he given anything in particular? Like a truth serum or something? I thought it was just the complications of his existing state and him being moved around and jostled around and
that feels causing, like
his stress,
to me.
Causing his stress to go up, gave him the seizures. And then the seizures are what caused him to have the hallucination. It wasn't that he had an actual drug.
And a lack of proper medical attention.
Yeah.
That seems like torture, denying medical attention that he needs. And he would have lived had she not taken him. So actually, Liz got him killed. Well, Red did too, honestly.
They all did.
Yeah, they're all guilty. I hope you're all happy. You and your weird family. Dom says that N13, if Liz says that around the wrong person at the wrong time, you won't live to regret it. She says he framed my mother. And he said, I have no idea what you're talking about. It's all falling apart. Everything gone. And then he loses all sense of time. And then what happens is you get Katerina coming in, okay? And this was an interesting choice because they had
a Should we clarify this to make this simple? Should we like Maddie Tolliver versus Katerina?
No. You should let me finish what I was going to say.
Okay.
So there's the weird thing is they have Lotta Verbeek come meet. Can I say her name right?
Yep, Lotta Verbeek. Yep.
Yep. Come back to play Katerina. Katerina that we know and accept as Katerina Rostova. And as modern-day Katerina sits down to talk to Dom, it fades in and out between this Katerina, modern-day Katerina, and original, OG Katerina. So you're going back and forth. And, of course, they make a comment about hallucinations and whatnot, which is you're out, I suppose, if you want to advocate against this being Katerina Rostova. My only thing is, do you feel, because I know you're squarely landing on this is not the Katerina Rostova. I know you firmly believe that.
Yes.
No matter what the facts are that I'm going to lay out my case list later.
Yeah, I'll make the disclaimer here. Like, even though I am, as you said in the last episode, in the Red Arena camp from an Ultimate Theory perspective, regardless of that point of view, I am still 100% on the this is not Katerina Rostova that we've come to know throughout the series. So I am also in the fake arena camp. Now, you can be in the fake arena camp and also not be in the Red Arena camp.
You sure can. Yeah, you sure can.
So,
because, I mean, you still got a lot of women that I had flings with that I want some explanation about if you're ever going to go there. But anyway, so you have this situation where it's going in and out. And I feel personally that's not fair to the audience because that's like teetering a little too. I think that's just a little too over the line. I think in terms of if it's definitely not Katerina, the Katerina Rostova, that feels like it's over the line to me because yes, you throw the hallucination line in there and you can use that as your out, but it feels cheap to me.
See, and I'm thinking like, this is the best Blacklist has ever been because this is exactly what the show has done from day one. From day one, they literally give you two opportunities and you as the fan need to decide which side of the opportunity are you going to take? Because you can very clearly in this particular scene say, oh, look, he's phasing in and out on modern day Katerina to be previous day Katerina. So therefore, it is Katerina. He is seeing Katerina in this woman, even if he's having a hallucination or a delusion caused by the seizures. Or because they say, you could have hallucinations and delusions because of the seizures. You could say he's seeing what he wants to see in front of him. But then the words that modern day Katerina uses in this particular scene would make you go, okay, she's saying stuff here that doesn't make sense. Like Lena is his wife, not Lena is my mother. Especially when we know how affectionate she was towards her mother and getting her out of the country at the ferry in the Ross. Was it the Rosviet episode or was it a different one? It was a Rosviet episode, wasn't it? Yeah.
Which one?
Where she goes and meets her mother at the ferry and then gets her on the ferry.
That was Rosviet, yeah. The fire was in Requiem.
Requiem, yeah.
Yeah, by the way, I rewatched that just to check the burns again. Good luck explaining that one to me. Because she has like a little tiny hole. Oh, you're hurt. And there is a mention that you're hurt. But if that's the same burns that Red has, if you're trying to say that, that requires some great explanation.
Oh, because you're talking the season one finale burns.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah, the fire burns. Yeah, fire burns.
Any fire burns from the fire. Burns from any fire. Doesn't have to be the fighter.
Sure, man, but that also would be cheap because you know that. The whole point would be that it was from that same fire.
Right.
So, yeah.
But anyway, back to Katarina and Dom. Dom gives a whole lot of information away if he's hallucinating anyway. That's the big thing.
Yeah, and I was trying to get there, but you want to go off on these little side tirades. So he says, as he looks at the woman who is Katarina sometimes and sometimes not. And I guess I said sheep, but that's probably not a fair way to say it. I don't mean like, this is badly written or anything, because it definitely wasn't. It's clever. I feel like when you do it too much, and it's been done to us too much as fans, it gets a little tiring when we're this knee deep into it. You know, we're this far along. I'm just tired of Mr. X. How's that?
Yeah, you're like, if this scene was in season four, you'd be like, this is great.
That's cool. That's cool.
In season eight, you're like, I'm done. Like, stop.
Yeah, I'm very tired of that. Yeah. Yeah. And it felt to me like if you're going to bring her back, give her something more to do. You know, show some angle of the story that we don't know yet. I mean, just to me, it was just, that's just what I, maybe that was an expectation thing too, to be fair.
Well, and maybe she's in the third episode and she filmed two eps. I don't know.
You never know.
But yeah, I think for this
episode, we'll find out in January.
if this was the only time Lotta was in the show this season, it did feel like kind of a waste for Lotta's, you know, acting capability and what she brings to the table in the part.
It's not like she's listening, man. It's not, but
no, I'm just saying,
you're like, hey, Lotta, if you're listening, I like what you do.
I think she's played Katarina great and all the stuff
great.
That she's been. Yeah, and it's
she's
like,
done great.
And you're like, and now you're in season eight, and you're like, ooh, this is a Katarina episode, and you don't get a lot of backstory. It's kind
of. But see, yeah, because we haven't seen her in like 2 years.
Yeah.
Since season six. So, all right. Here's what Dom says to whoever she's talking to, but he thinks it's Katarina. So, what he's saying to the person he thinks is Katarina is, I know what you're planning, that it's your only way out. We can handle the cabal. Sikorsky, why do you think I took it? She asked him, like, why do you think I took it? And he says, because you did. And then he says, what you're planning, it breaks my heart. Which, of course, feeds your theory. But I'm just saying, that is what he throws out there. So what do you think of that whole portion of Dom?
Well, I think this is the whole hard part, because it's all about the yanking the chain thing. Because when he's saying things like, because you took it, and what you're planning breaks my heart, he is saying that to his younger version of daughter, Katarina Rostova.
We agree with that. So what do you think he's saying about that? Well, I will agree with you. I'll concur.
Well, I think
just
absolutely,
so you can get to what you think of the
words. I think absolutely Katarina Rostova at some point in time in her criminal career was the one that was trying to collect this information, the N-13 information, on the behalf of the cabal. I think that makes complete sense, right, to the crux of the story. Then when it changes and he's like, you know, Reddington has it and you have it, that's the part where I'm just like, right? Mind explosion. Like, what does that even mean?
I don't know how that's like, to me, it's not complicated at all. Like, I feel like that's right on the nose answer to me.
An answer of what?
Because
you said there were no answers in this episode.
She
so I just
says,
make sure.
No, I didn't say that. I said there weren't, you know what I'm saying. Very, very clearly, she's like, Reddington has the archive. And he's like, you took it and he has it. Or I'm sorry, you took it, but he has it. And so do you. To me, that right there is just saying Liz is the archive. In some way, shape or form, Liz is the archive or has the archive, maybe locked in her memories from the mind finagles or whatever. But Liz is the Sikorsky archive. Say that word three times real fast.
And that's because you're saying that because you're assuming he has it and you do too. In a way that because Katarina and original OG Raymond Reddington had the horizontal mambo and gave birth to Liz, that's why you're putting those two together that way?
That's one way to look at it, or you could look at it from the modern day, because that Katarina and Reddington both have their grips in Liz. So either way, yes, I'm saying
that, I'm following
that
you.
It works that way.
Or you could say that because he's talking to young Kat, that Reddington has it and you do too would then feed the theory.
Yeah, either way.
Yeah.
Either way.
My theory. Not the theory, but my theory.
A lot of people are using it now. Is it really yours still?
It's out there. It's out there.
I think
there.
It's the world's.
It is the world's at this point. But yeah, I mean, that's the first thing, because she was like, what do you mean? That doesn't make any sense. And there's a lot of people that'll be like, that doesn't make any sense. But the Right Arena people will be like, it absolutely makes sense. So it's fun. And that's what makes the show great. Like, you can have all different kinds of points of view on this stuff. And it's what keeps people coming back week to week. You say it's pulling the chain. I think it's fun. I think it's brilliant.
Well, that part I liked. Okay. Because that part was fine. We have a new element, and we're trying to figure out what that new element was. I didn't like the face off.
The face off.
Yeah. And like that. Just if Nick Cage would have shown up, though, that could have been awesome.
Face off.
All right. So, Red, you and Cooper always telling me what I can't do while I'm doing it.
Favorite line of the episode. Line. I love that line.
Great. Always telling me what I can't do while I'm doing it. I did like the encounter with Russer. If anyone's responsible for this man's death, it's you. And he just said, you're probably right. Which, fair.
It is.
At least he took some responsibility a little bit, but still felt like a little thin.
Well, whether he's Red Arena or he's not Red Arena, he's been involved in Dom's life for a long time.
Yes.
One way, definitely. Shape, or form. And because of that, everything that he's done has put Dom in harm's way, just like everything he's done has put Liz in harm's way. So, yeah, he is responsible, ultimately, at the end of the day.
Definitely. We want to get to our little, is it real cat or fake cat? But let's hold up. So, Katarina escapes, but her plan to trade for her life backfires because she calls, Red's already there, always one step ahead, and he sets up a meet. Meet goes bad.
Hiding her.
Yeah.
He was the head of the Townsend Directive North American operations. Is that the way that I remembered that going down?
Yep. And it looks like he's no longer the head. So I believe he's retired is the word.
But, he's definitely retired now.
He's definitely retired. That's what I'm saying. He has been put to bed.
But he was under the impression that Katarina Rostova had the archive, but he was also under the impression that Katarina Rostova was dead.
Mm-hmm.
So that was an interesting conversation on the phone with her there as well for the fake cat camp.
Very. So Red is more upset that Liz saw him kill Katarina, I think, than anything, because once that happens, you see a visibly shaken Red. He still continues, like he snaps out of it. But I saw genuine regret for a minute, which is why I go back to your earlier question. I think maybe he didn't see her right away, but I just don't see how he couldn't with that angle.
Right.
Regardless, he's definitely upset that he killed her in front of her. Yes?
Oh, yeah, because he's always said from the beginning, you know, this is my secret. It's my decision. You have no business knowing it, regardless of what the answer is. And because of this one specific act, he's like, I lost her. Again, for like the third time in the series, and there's no way I can come back from this. So do I really, everything I've been trying to hide and save and struggle, and do I take that and tell her the answer so I can win her back, or am I okay letting her go? And that's an internal struggle that Red's going to have to deal with for 2 months.
Yes, it is. For 2 months. Roughly 2 months is how long it's going to take for him to get over it. And then Liz is going to come back, I think, with a vengeance.
With vengeance. That's what
I think. Yep, that's what I think. All right, so Liz, because we're moving on to that question. Hang on, we're coming up. Liz says, I can't begin to explain my disappointment. Oh, thank God. Second favorite line of the night for me, because I love the delivery. When he's like, I can't believe to explain my disappointment. And just like scolding her. And Liz just shoots back, oh, thank God. I just thought that was hilarious. I laughed out loud. I thought that was a great exchange. But here's what Liz says. She, you know, when she's talking to Dembe, I know she's not telling me everything, but she's still not willing to let Red kill her. But even though she escapes from Dembe and gets there, she's too late, and Red kills Katarina right in front of her. Do you feel like this is going to a new level? Like, it's on?
Yeah, I think Liz has whatever information she has, and because of that, she only can react one way. Like, even if she knows, like, this woman was, like, kind of shady and maybe her mother, but she also knew that her mother was a spy, so she understands that she's shady. You know, to her, she's been looking for her mother her entire life. She's been looking for a mother figure or a father figure or a family figure her entire life. And whether she was her mother or not, much like this Katarina said, she looks at me as family. She looks at me as her mother. And she called her mother in this episode when Katarina was leaving the warehouse where Dom was being held. She's like, you never called me that before. Aw. But I think at this moment, that's exactly where Liz's head is at. Liz's head is at, like, you killed the one person who was trying to find the same answers I was trying to find. And I'm never going to forgive you for that, no matter what happens. I might even kill you because of
it. I mean, to be fair, there, you know, many people hold dearly, and most people do actually, to the fact that Red never lies to Liz. And when she asked point blank, "Are you my father?" he said no. When she said mention earlier, I think it was last season, "That's my mother," he said no, she's not. That woman is not your mother, or something along those lines. So
confirmed it in this episode when they were having their one-on-one conversation too.
Well, he didn't flat out confirm it in this episode. He alluded to it. There's a difference, man.
He's reinforcing his previous
Captain lexical ambiguity. That was not a no, even though he said no previously. So I'm acknowledging he's already said it, but I'm saying this episode was not a no. It was, "That's the story she told you." That's not the same thing as "No, she's not your mom." It's different. It's different.
Lexical ambiguity. That was the second thing he said. I thought he said something right before that too, where he was
not
kind of
saying no. I watched this episode like three times. He did not say no.
Is reinforcing his previous statement, though.
Sure. I said it. I acknowledged, jackass. He said it before. I'm going to go Liz on you in a minute. All right. Now for the biggest question of this entire episode. Was he under an overpass or in an underpass? What's the answer?
In an underpass.
That's what I thought. Whew. Glad we got that settled. I think that's it, right? Nothing more to talk about. We're good to go.
Although, you guys have a wonderful technically, holiday. When you're looking at it, it is called an overpass. So then he would be under an overpass. But I think it depends on your point of view. So if you're on the outside looking in,
we literally resolved it, and you just keep going.
It's the blacklist, man. You got to analyze it. It could be everything could be looked at two ways.
No, you got to look at it, because you can't ever take anything as black and white. Not everybody has to do that.
I think this is why this is a brilliant line in the entire thing, because it's like, hey, here's two ways to look at this, and we're literally spelling it out for you. You can choose which one you want. It's literally the writers telling you how the show works.
I like that. I do like that. All right. So Katerina Rostova. Oh, boy. This is the case for Katerina. Is Katerina Rostova? We're going to do this two different ways. The case for she is the same person. The case for she is not the same person. We'll discuss after each case. How about that?
Gotcha. So first one is Kat is Kat.
Yes. That this woman, modern day woman, is Katerina Rostova. Here's the case for her. He sees the woman we know as the Katerina, but the doctors say he's hallucinating, so it does technically fit both categories. She makes a couple statements. She says, the woman I am now, or the woman I was then, when she's referring to something. Raymond, you're too late. She was here. I told her everything. At least I got to say goodbye to her, my daughter, my Katerina. That's what Dom says to Red. Seemingly acknowledging that he saw his daughter. Now, keep in mind, I understand what you're going to say, so you save that for the not.
Yep.
I am Katerina Rostova. I have the identity of N13. It's Reddington when she calls.
Heidegger. Name.
Thank you. You won't kill me. I'm her mother. And even now, there's love there. She says that when she's talking to Reddington. So those are in this episode, and I'm not going to bring back, you probably remember stuff from other episodes, but I'm just going off this episode.
No, this episode is fine. And I think, I think you missed the big one.
Okay.
The one line that I think is the one
La-di-da.
That is going to really stick in my craw about, well, is this really Katerina or not? She actually says in Russian, she calls him Papa. She says Papa, and then a bunch of Russian. So she's actually talking to him as if she was his daughter in that moment. She seemed very genuine in that conversation when she used Papa. And I was like, oh, snap, wait, did she say Papa? I mean, granted, it could be a manipulation technique, but it seemed very, to me, in that moment, very much genuine in that conversation when she used Papa.
So based on that, was there any moment where you were wavering in this episode? Were you like, no, she might be Katerina.
Only the Papa line. That was the only one where I was like, God dang it, John.
Really?
Yeah. Mostly their stuff, I'm like, no, he's talking to the hallucination. She's standing there getting the information through the hallucination, but he's talking to the hallucination. So therefore, you can't take that at face value. When he's talking to young Kat, it's literally talking to wherever young Kat is today, right? On the other side of the Stargate, maybe. Who knows? But... But that one line really when she cool says, when she
Kurt
says,
Russell showed up.
Yeah. When she says papa, I was just like, oh, son of a gun. Like it was going so well. Grr.
And by the end of the episode, you felt certain it went the other way.
Yeah. So right at the end of the episode, 100% back in the fake arena camp.
Okay. I was just curious. I did definitely have a couple moments where I'm like, maybe. And that's why, that's why the face thing, I'm like, I don't like this. This just feels like you're trying to force me one way and you're trying to dupe me. I don't like to be duped. I feel like the show's tried to dupe me enough. I don't want to be duped anymore. I just want answers.
Prior to this episode, you were always in the fake arena camp prior to this episode.
Yes, I have been. Yeah. I mean, I've always humored the idea because, we've talked about this plenty of times. I don't rule anything out. I just don't like to be 100% anything because then you just won't accept information when it comes,
Totally.
I mean, yeah, it happens all the time. To this day, people say there's only one answer that could have gotten right out of that chair with Kirk. And I'm like, no, there's not. There's like two or three. So wrong. So you just got to be open to it. If you get so fixed on one thing, you just won't bend. So I try not to do that, but based on the evidence, we don't have this character anymore. So I had to make a decision by the end of it. So here's the case for she is not the Katerina Rostova, right?
Yep.
Here's what she says. When she's talking about Lena was his wife. She doesn't say not my mother, or she doesn't say that was my mother. So she says Lena was his wife, not my mother. That to me is a very big tell. You agree?
Unless you go with the whole the woman I was then versus the woman I am now. So I don't recognize her as my mother because I let her go at the ferry. So it could play into the other side as well. But to me,
sure could.
I would think like Lena was my mother. But she's also hiding it because the people that she's standing next to, the doctor, is actually Red's doctor. So she might not want to play her hand in the card either. So that one's a little, it's hard to use that one as the nail in the coffin for a theory.
It's not a nail in a coffin. It's just one where I'm like, okay, that's not what I would say. Based on what we saw of their relationship, she was very close to her mother in Requiem.
Right.
Yeah.
Rosviet.
Rosviet. See, I can't.
Too many R's. Raymond Reddington.
There you go.
Red.
Yeah.
Red. Requiem. Ruin.
I wonder why his name is Red, Troy.
I wonder why.
Mm-hmm. What's a weird nickname?
Sure is.
It's kind of what I always call redheaded girls. I'm just to get somebody riled up that hates that. Oh, I hate when you guys bring it up. All right. So Red.
It would be Allie Blacklister on Tumblr and Twitter. She hates the Red Arena Theory.
Does she?
Oh, yeah. She's like, I'm not listening anymore if you guys keep talking about it.
You can't not talk about it. I mean, unless they rule it out completely, unless they flat out say, unless you have Red say that was your mother, it's kind of hard not to. I mean, it's out there. I have a hard time with it for a lot of reasons, and I'm not on board with it, but I never rule it out.
We could have a whole special podcast in the 2-month break about that topic, actually.
I'm sure you'd love that. I'm sure you'd love that. Maybe we will if you get really, really bored and I just want to lash out at you one day.
We are locked down for 8 weeks. It might happen.
Okay. All right. So Red says, you can't trust that woman. She's just using that to exploit you.
That was the line I was thinking of.
That's the line you were thinking of, but it's not an explicit
that
no.
Woman. Yeah.
It's not totally an explicit no.
It is not.
But he did earlier. He said, she's not your mother or whatever. Is that the story she told you? She's an innocent victim. And then he goes to, I see. It's a ghost story. So he's kind of like really dickish, I would say, in this moment. I mean, to me, with everything Liz has done and how distraught she obviously is, this is a moment where you should probably have a come to Jesus meeting and talk something out. If you really, I guess I'm just on the case where this is not the, if this was actually her real mother, that should be something, according to you, according to what you believe, that's, by this point, it keeps happening. You're a terrible, terrible, terrible mother if you don't address this, if you don't show empathy for this. And there was zero empathy shown.
I gotcha. So you're saying that if Red Arena is true, there should be a lot more compassion in this particular moment.
Yes.
Gotcha.
It's a very important moment, I think.
They had one of these moments too when she brought up the Ilya thing. And he was kind of snotty about that too at the restaurant.
Exactly. It's happened every time. I mean, it very rarely does. It's the opposite from the Katerina we've seen in the past. And I know years make you hard, but I'm telling you, it's just not that hard. I don't think. So you go to when he's talking to Dom, and there's a moment with Dom where, you know, he got to see his beloved Katerina when, you know, he got to see her again. You know, he loves her and everything else. And Red says, she loves you. She always has. Nothing could ever change that. Then that soft touch and kiss. And I'm sure for you fans that believe in that, jumped all over that one. You're like, woo, that's something only his daughter would do. Right? Essentially.
Or her brother in your uncle theory.
Exactly. I'm just saying. It's possible.
But it also, the line where when Dom said, you told me I would never see her. You told me I would never see her again. And I saw her. I thought that was really telling too, because that means Red knew something about Katerina disappearing one way or the other.
But, I firmly believe that.
Yeah,
I do believe that. I mean, it's entirely plausible. He's the one that has Katerina hidden.
And then you have to remember too,
faked her death.
There's the anger Dom has in the beginning of this episode with Liz towards that woman. Like, is that woman listening? Is that woman in the other room? Like, mm-hmm. You know, versus how he sees the hallucination version of his younger daughter, right?
That's fair. There you go. And then when the conversation is happening between Red and Katerina, Katerina says, am I supposed to feel, because this is after Red says Dom's dead. Am I supposed to feel something about that? Dom set me up, led me to my public slaughter. I won't shed any tears for that monster. That's interesting. That
completely different tone.
It could actually play both ways. It really could.
It could.
It could definitely play both ways.
But it definitely feels like it's a completely different tone when she's talking to Red than when she was talking to Dom, milking him for the information. Like, Papa, please tell me they're coming for me. Yeah, you know, this felt like a complete, like, you know, Dom screwed me over. And it was the whole, like, you kept dangling the lie out there. And I was like, oh, the lie that you are Katerina, because that's a great line right there. And then the Blacklist does a really great job of the whole adding on to that with the whole, you know, making them think I had the Sikorsky archive. There was that like deliberate pause between the, you kept dangling the lie out there and the Sikorsky archive. And I'm like, why do you put that deliberate pause in there? Stupid Oxford comma.
Stupid Oxford comma. That's not what the Oxford comma is, but that's regardless.
Whatever. Hanging Chad.
That's better.
Little piece of pencil lead that just kind of like, ooh, I slipped.
Well, there's more conversation between them. For what it's worth, I didn't know what Dom was planning in Belgrade.
Which is true.
Which is true, because Red wasn't there, and it was just Dom and Ilya.
Yep.
That were there.
Dom specifically told Ilya, like, don't tell Reddington, do not bring him into this. In the Belgrade episode last season.
Correct. You frame me and let them do it, she says. And he says, I could have helped you, like I always have. But staying safe wasn't enough. You needed answers. And then there's one, I think, very telling moment. And in the that's not the real Katerina thing. Is when she mentions Elizabeth and he says, you don't know a damn thing about Elizabeth. And that's where it becomes very territorial. Mm-hmm. As in, back off. You know, back, like you've crossed the line. And I felt like that was probably the moment where I'm like, I have no more doubts. I have zero doubts. Like, don't get me wrong. I didn't have many doubts. But I feel like there was enough in this episode where I'm like, I could get where people would feel like that. It's definitely Katerina. But when that reaction was, you don't know a damn thing about Elizabeth, I felt like, okay, yeah.
And we should what say, about you? There's this final line. And so since we give answers on this show, I will tell mm-hmm. you, Aaron is a very good BS detector. Because he texted me because he was at the movies last night because we were locked down today. So he was able to go to the movies last night. And he literally said, like, tell me, was there anything? Was there anything? Was there anything? And I was like, well, you kind of have to watch the show for yourself. And he literally texted back and said, I can sense the sarcasm in your voice. So Aaron is a great sarcasm detector.
Yeah, I can tell when somebody's BSing me pretty quick.
What do you think about that final line, Aaron? Was it sarcastic?
Yeah. The way she says that, knowing you can't kill me because of how much Elizabeth loves her mother. That to me is just such a condescending middle finger. I mean, it's a vocal middle finger is what it is. It's like if a middle finger could talk, it would scream that line. And that's what I felt like, especially that last word, mother.
No, and it wasn't. It wasn't even the mother. It was the she leans forward and does the little head nod, like
yeah,
girlfriend. It's like yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, that is yeah. one thing that's going to totally piss Red off.
So it was definite. I mean, that whole final scene, I felt like there was an answer. It wasn't a.
It wasn't clear a black cut and white answer.
No, yeah. Definitely wasn't. Shades of everything. It was just, you know, frustrating, I think, because at this point, if you're going to tell me we're getting answers, the mother of all answers will be revealed, I really feel like you should be very clear about it. I mean,
well, the use of mother,
I still blame NBC for that.
The mother of all answers was kind of over the top a little bit, right? Because you did get an answer. You know, Red is N13. That is we now know who Red is. You know, he is N13 and he has the Sikorsky archive, or at least we think he has a Sikorsky archive, or at least knows where it is. So you did get an answer to the mythology. It just wasn't the mother answer that you were looking for.
No, I mean, I would have liked just any confirmation one way or the other for the audience. And they probably leave it dangling because they want it to play for Liz, you know, to justify her actions, because I do think the audience could possibly revolt if against Liz more than some of them already do. If we know for a fact that it's not definitely her mom, you know, I feel like there are definitely fans who would be like, oh, Liz, you're so stupid. Why would you be going after Reddington? That's not your mom. That wasn't your mom, you idiot. You know, I really feel like it's a conscious choice because of the audience.
Isn't that what half the audience is doing anyway right now?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, I'm on Team Liz, and I've since I said that last week, I've gotten a lot of messages from people telling me all the ways I'm wrong about my opinion, and I just don't care. I mean, I appreciate the passion, I appreciate the fandom, but on the same token, I mean, you watch it, you get your opinion. You know, go with God, do what you want. I am a big fan that Liz is justified at this point. I would have shot Reddington like 6 times in this season or this series. I just would. I think her life has been overwhelmingly destroyed. She named it because my dad is dead and my husband is dead. And now my person that I believe is my mother is dead. All these people keep coming into her life, not because she was doing anything. I mean, she was kind of just going about living her dreams.
Yeah, she was just brushing her teeth, brushing her hair, trying to get out the door, and Tom's pants were on backwards and a helicopter picked her up.
Combing her wig, and then she gets picked up and has to go. Shout out to season one.
Season one. Good stuff.
So what do you think about that? I mean, do you feel like it was clear cut for the audience as to she is or she isn't?
I would say that from everything that I watched and as much as I've seen and all the, you know, Belgrade episode, for example, right? You want me to kill your daughter? No, I want you to hear my plan. You know, there's deliberate lines that have planted the fake arena thing from the get-go. We talked about it with John in the season 7 wrap-up interview. One of the best responses from Aaron I think I've ever heard in a podcast ever. When John's like, have we done anything to make you think that way? And Aaron's like, yes. Just one word, yes. And I think 98% of this tracks with fake Katarina.
I would agree with that.
There's one line where you're just like, God dang it. It's like just being it black and white for once. But it was the last line that sold it for me. The whole like, you know, but she thinks I'm her mother. It's like,
on the same line, I would argue. Okay, this is where I'm going to jump in and see if you can admit that this is a possibility. I felt like they kind of toyed with Red Arena fans a little bit this episode.
Oh, they 100% did.
Like it was a little bit too on the nose in a couple where I'm like, that's definitely not going to be Red Arena. It's definitely like they're totally like thumbing their nose at that idea. I mean, to a degree, like it's just too blatant in a couple spots. And I'm like, oh, snap. I like that.
Like blatant to like make fun of us or blatant to
I don't think.
Not make fun of us, but you know what I mean. Like, play with us.
I will 100% because we've talked to the writers and the producers. They have nothing but respect for fans.
Totally.
I 100% don't mean it like that.
Yeah. Wrong choice of words on my part.
Acknowledging that's definitely a theory that's out there and they're playing with it. Just playing with it. Because the thing where he's kissing Dom and he's like, she loves you and da da da. I'm like, that totally felt like a kid move, like a kid to a dad move. And on the same token, that totally feeds that. It just feeds that. So to me, I mean, I don't subscribe to that theory. I'm with Allie in that respect. I don't hate it. I've told you, you and I have talked about this enough.
Right.
I don't hate it. I just don't agree with that. There's things that have to be earned for something like that, and I don't feel like they have been. So I'm not in that camp.
Yeah.
On the same token, I see where people are coming from. Like when people make you don't have to go far for me to get the argument. I just say there's definitely things that would have to happen and they haven't happened. And I don't agree with it. So there's other options. The problem with that particular theory is anyone who subscribes to it cannot see any other thing else. You yourself are included. Cannot see anything else.
It's hard.
and granted, it might end up being that. Don't know until the end, until we find out for sure. On the same token, think of all the times you just wouldn't look at anything else, you know?
Yeah.
My options open.
The very last line, which is like the whole mother leaning forward, shaking her head, Karen style. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like in that moment, the only thing
let's stop using Karen. My mother's name is Karen. Best people in the world are named Karen.
Your mother's name is Mrs. Peterson to me, so.
you can call her Karen.
But in that moment, as a Red Arena person, the thing that went through my brain immediately, doesn't even have to like come up. She's like, oh no, she didn't. Because a real mother is going to be like, bitch, what? and the look on Red's face literally said that to me and probably other Red Arena fans out there. And he pulls that gun and it's like, that's exactly what I would have done. Like
I get it.
You're claiming you're claiming my child. Like, screw you. You're gone.
Yep. And I totally understand that. And I'll be honest, there were a couple of moments, like I even told my wife, I'm like, God damn, Troy might be right. And my wife even asked, what are you going to do if he ends up being right? I'm like, I'll have to tell him he's right. She's like, oh, that's going to be so hard. I'm like, I know. Because nobody loves being right more than Troy. Trust me.
It's my favorite words. You can ask my wife. You are right.
God.
My three favorite words.
This is my plea if John's listening. If that is the plan, change it. Just change it. Brother works great. It popped up out of nowhere. Brother, we didn't need to know about him this whole time. Come on.
Sure didn't.
Didn't need to know.
But yeah, no, there were definite points in this episode where it's like the whole like Reddington has it and you have it. And I'm like, oh, that's like, cause it's the same person. It was there were definitely toying with it in this episode for sure.
I firmly believe, I really feel like they were playing with a lot of fan camps in this episode.
Oh, for sure.
In a positive way.
For sure.
Just doing the whole yanking the chain, so to speak. So I can definitely respect that. So do you feel like you're more solidified at this point in what you believe after this episode?
100% I'm still like, she was totally fake Katarina, 100% on that. And then because of that, then it's like, well, the Red Arena theory still lives on. Still has not been completely debunked in any reveal in any season to this point.
Well, that's where you and I disagree, but you know what? We'll find out.
Depending on this one, because it's 98%, right? It's not a full 100% confirmation that this was a fake Katarina.
I just want you to explain like all the women he had sex with. I just want that explained at some
point. If you're a spy.
And the
if you're male a spy,
pattern baldness.
You want me to explain it or you want to keep interrupting me?
The male pattern baldness.
Sure. If you are a spy and your sole job is to hide from the KGB and the cabal and protect your daughter from afar, you have to play the part 100%. Any undercover operation, you have to play the part 100%. So that's the explanation for why the women trysts and all the other fun stuff.
Yeah, that doesn't... we can get into that. I think we've gotten into that more than enough times.
There's other challenges with the theory, yes.
Nobody will ever get a sex change unless they really felt like they were already a man. And that's a psychological thing.
It's a psychological thing. We've talked about that.
It would
that.
Be insulting to say otherwise.
Yeah.
That's what I say. That's for my, like I said, it's all an earned thing. If they can find a way to earn that before it comes out, okay, I'm listening.
If they said Katarina was pansexual, bisexual, was, you know, fighting with her identity, you know, build that into the whole case of the conversation, sure.
And she would have to always feel like she was a man. And I haven't seen anything to indicate that from the past that we've seen. That's where it's not.
Except for maybe that one scene, the death row last meal scene, where there was some implications there, but it wasn't like explicitly set out about, you know, how
potentially, but that's still
it was weak.
Thin. That's right? Pretty thin.
It's thin. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty thin. I'm still going with brother or something like that. But here's the thing. I know people are like, you better tell me something.
That's the number one thing, especially coming out of this episode.
that's where I'm a little, not a little, really irritated as a fan, because I want some definitive answer about something. You know, at some point, all the shades, you know, become exhausting as a fan, because you've been supportive this whole time. Give me something I can count on. And I know, you know, they give a little bit layer by layer by layer. On the same token, like, we need some big answers, man. We need some big reveals. We need some big
bombshells.
Character move. Yeah, some bombshells. Just a bombshell or two bombshells. Something. That's what we need.
But I think that
I feel like
the fun part about this series, I think, is it's all going to be judged on how it lands the plane, right?
Mm-hmm.
If it lands the plane and it's like atomic bomb, bombshell, and then you can go, oh snap, they literally gave us the answers the entire time. And you can look back on it and go, that was really a brilliant series.
Well, you know, I have no doubt about that. I firmly believe, I just think we're frustrated now because we're so focused on that one question. It makes it hard to enjoy the show as a whole.
But John has also come on this very show, this podcast, and said, if you know who Raymond Reddington is, the show is over.
Yeah, I get it.
So you're not going to get that answer.
I realize
But I sure could have damn well gotten 100% confirmation if this was a fake cat or not. Damn it, John.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. We want to take a quick second and say thank you to those of you that are supporting the show by going to Patreon. That's P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com/theblacklistGSM. Special big thanks to our honorary blacklister, Patricia. Also, a special shout out to our task force members, Lacey, Marilyn, Judy, and Sharon. All of those people receive cool gifts from us, and you can send a cool gift as well for donating at the $20 level or higher. Do you want a cool t-shirt or a coffee mug? You know you do. You know you do. I mean, what do you... It's Christmas! Bam! Who doesn't want a cool t-shirt or coffee mug for Christmas? You don't have to stay at that $20 level forever. Just a few months, you can get the cool stuff.
Yeah, and as we mentioned last week, the changes are here, right? So if you are at that $5 level, you got this episode 2 days before everybody else. So if you want to hear Aaron and I bicker live as quickly as we possibly can once the show ends, you definitely want to go ahead and go at that $5 level over at P-A-T-R-E-O-N. That's patreon.com/theblacklistGSM, or just fill the fedora on the website. Wherever you see the fedora, click that link and then go ahead and drop $5 in the hat and you will get the episode before anybody else. So cool. So great. And we got much more show still to come right after this.
You obviously love podcasts, but are you also a fan of movies and television? Do you want to listen to a show that reviews entertainment honestly and casts pretentiousness to the wind? That debates both film and TV topics in a fun, good-spirited way, while still getting to the heart of why we all love them so much? Then don't miss the award-winning weekly podcast, The Hollywood Outsider, now available on your favorite podcast app or at TheHollywoodOutsider.com.
Hey, Dembe Loyals, this is Hisham Taufik. You are listening to Blacklist Exposed on Golden Spiral Media.
Welcome to Red's Rhetoric this week. Actually, it's not going to be Red's Rhetoric this week. This week, we're going to change it up because we can, because it's the holidays. We're off for 2 more months and all that fun stuff. So why not do something different? It's the new normal. This week, we're going to do Katarina's Conversations. That part of the show where we actually relive some of our favorite scenes from Katarina, or not Katarina, this week. Then you get to vote which is your favorite over in our web poll inside of the episode over on the website, theblacklistexposed.com. Our first clip this week comes as the conversation between Dom and his supposed daughter.
Listen to me. I know what you're planning. I know you think it's your only way out.
What I'm planning?
I know you're in danger.
In danger? I'm being hunted. They will stop at nothing until they find me and destroy me.
We can handle the cabal.
You're not listening. It's Townsend. They put a bounty on my head. I have to run.
No, you can't leave me again.
Johnny, true papa. No, ani minya ubiut. Minya podstavile. Ani dumayo, chto arhiv u minya.
Sikorsky.
Yes. Yes, help me stop them. Help me understand why they think I took it.
Because you did.
What are you talking about?
I can help you. What you were planning, it breaks my heart.
I need a name. It's not enough to say I was framed.
I need to prove who has the archive.
You know.
It wasn't me. Why are you saying that? Okay, it doesn't matter who took it back then. What matters is who has it now. I need a name. Is it Reddington? Is he the one you're protecting?
The second is the ending to the Red and Katarina relationship.
Dominic's dead.
He wasn't when I left him.
No matter. You killed him just as sure as I killed poor Heidegger there.
Am I supposed to feel something about that? Dom set me up, led me to what was supposed to be my public slaughter. Think what you want, that I won't be shedding any tears for that monster.
No, I wouldn't think so.
All those years searching for answers, and you were right in front of me the whole time.
For what it's worth, I didn't know what Dom was planning in Belgrade.
I believe you. But after, you let the world believe the lie. You dangled me out there. Let everyone think I had the archive. And now I know why. Because if they were chasing me, it meant they weren't chasing you.
It's not quite that simple.
You're N13, aren't you? You framed me. You fed me to Townsend as a patsy, and Dominic knew and helped you do it.
I could have helped you the way I always have. Kept you one step ahead. But staying safe wasn't enough. You needed answers. Well, now you have them. And now they've destroyed you.
What have I promised never to tell a soul what I've learned?
Well, that would be the last lie you ever told.
You won't kill me. You can't.
Why is that?
Because Elizabeth would never forgive you.
You don't know a damn thing about Elizabeth.
Oh, that's not true. I've gotten to know her. She chose me. She's helping me. She has no idea who you are. Me? I'm her mother. And even now, there's a love there.
I can't let you leave.
My God. I can't imagine what this must be like for you. Knowing you can't kill me because of how much Elizabeth loves her mother.
Which was your favorite this week? If you truly felt you saw real Cat one final time, vote hashtag Cat Daughter. Or if you despise the fact that Liz has truly picked Cat's side, vote hashtag Cat Mother.
Okay, let's move into Special Agent Intel. Now, we've got, first up, we got an email from Ed Meredith. He said, I think James Spader's character is actually Katarina's husband. A while back, we saw Dom try to kill Katarina by blowing up her car in Kosovo. What if Kosovo, who loved her, had found out she was married, so to protect her from Dom, he conspired with her husband at the time to put her on the run? It would explain Reddington's burns on his back.
Oh, I see. That's actually really great. Katarina's love interest in Belgrade is Red.
But she doesn't, she said she doesn't know who Red is, though. Like she said, she didn't, she said several times, this Katarina, she didn't know who Reddington was.
This is true. This is true. It's kind of a cool
fact. But I mean, with plastic surgery, with plastic surgery, you know, maybe she didn't recognize him.
For sure.
Could be, sure. But I don't know why that guy would be so close to Dom when he blew up his wife.
Don't know.
Interesting.
Good thought. See, this is the thing we need.
I like
we
it.
We need new ideas from the audience. So send in your ideas.
Out of the box.
Out of the box. Love it. Steve said, I honestly think the cat story from Roanoke was symbolic of Red wanting to live. Right before that, he's talking about the guy who lived for 200 years, and he's drinking the wildberry smoothie to better his health. Then he tells the story of the cat sitting in the middle of the dangerous traffic all around him, and I'm assuming it escaped. He faced death many times, so I think he's yearning for his ninth life, and the cat symbolized that. faced with not only people wanting to kill him, but also his secret getting out, Liz's treachery, and his own sickness, he's looking for a way out of the danger on all sides. Just my interpretation. Or it's just a cat story and I'm reading way too much into it.
No, I like that interpretation actually a lot.
It's good.
Very good. And something you and I had talked about, because Elizabeth Keene has how many letters in her name?
13.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's weird.
Whoa.
Well, somebody, we had talked about this previously when we found this and popped up in our Facebook group just before we recorded the podcast. We're like, oh, that's a good segue. So from the Facebook group, N13 stands for Neek 13. Neek is Keen spelled backwards. Now, why Neek? I don't know. I mean, Neek does mean, like in an Urban Dictionary, nerd or geek. So somebody very highly intelligent. So maybe that's why they chose that. But they also said that the name Elizabeth Keen has 13 letters, which it does. And we were going to bring that up earlier. We're like, I will just wait until somebody's feedback from the group.
For sure.
So what do you think about that? Elizabeth Keen having 13 letters and they do go by N13. That could be a reference to Elizabeth Keen.
It could be. Although her name was Elizabeth Scott Keen and Keen is her married name. So I don't think that quite fits.
That's true. Well, it could just be a fun connection.
It could be. I do like the Neek part, though, like nerd, geek, Urban Dictionary, N13 is a spy, because we know the 13 stands for the 13 pieces of intel that were stolen. Like, we got that explanation from Cat Not Cat, and the N being Neek, it's kind of cool, like a highly intellectual spy. I like that idea. Yeah. It's okay. Good, though. It's different. I like different. More different people. Send in the more different stuff.
You got a couple more. We got one more here.
Yeah, like Reddit. this really great one from a theory about Katerina Rostova from Reddit from No TV. So hear me out. In Marco Yankovic's, however you said that one, it is revealed, the mummy episode, it is revealed that Katerina Rostova had arranged for Red to go through the operation.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently Katerina arranged Red as plastic surgery, yet in season 8, episode 1 last week, she told Liz that she has no idea who Raymond is.
Absolutely.
It's bugging me, and I can't fully understand how she could have arranged his surgery and not know his real identity.
Because it's not the real Katerina.
Because it's not the real Katerina.
Yeah.
Yep. Annie also had one here, said, this post is for Team Red Arena and anyone else who has considered the mother theory. One thing that I've noticed is that when Red tells Cooper something, or anyone else for that matter, and adds, you have my word, he absolutely means it. In the Kazanjian Brothers episode, Cooper tells Red, I've spoken to Elizabeth. I know you were using the Kazanjian Brothers to get to Maddie Tolliver. I know she's alive, and I know she's Agent Keene's mother. I'm also all but certain that when you go get her, that you intend on killing her. And that, to be completely clear, is a non-starter. I am serious. You can't touch her mother. And Red responds with, I won't. You have my word. So even if Red is directly responsible for the death of fake Arena, a.k.a. Maddie Tolliver, he still honors his word to Cooper.
Yeah, and that fits Red Arena. But once again, because you're only looking at it one way,
you're going to read into it.
Well, I'm just saying that could just mean that her mother is alive.
Or her mother's alive on the other side of the Stargate, like we said.
No, he's been protecting her this whole time. Like, she's been alive this whole time in hiding.
Right. Just like he's been protecting this Katerina, this version of Katerina, the entire time until
exactly. She
wanted to get answers and jump out in front.
So that's why I'm like, I can't latch 100% on any theory. I mean, you can't just ignore that that's a possibility.
Correct.
Unless you have something to rule that possibility out, you can't ignore it.
Correct.
And if you do, it's because you're stuck on whatever your personal theory is.
And all we know is that she was alive after she went into the ocean because of Rosviet. So we know that she could be out there somewhere. Or she could be dead.
She died
5 years ago before the show started.
Exactly. And
that's what caused Red to come out of hiding.
Red also told Liz that her mother was dead.
This is true.
Yeah. She died 5 years
ago. Died of weakness and shame.
Exactly. So, you know, but a lot of that could be the persona of her died. Da, 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 da. Anyway, all right, Michael.
We've done that for many years.
Yeah. Michael Wissett, or Wysot, one of those. Thank you for that hilarious sequence when analyzing the Blacklist last week. If I go to your house, Troy, and you've got plastic on the floor, walk straight back out. I laughed uncontrollably. Those types of moments on the podcast are priceless and much appreciated. Best wishes for continued success and stay safe. Aww. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
That's nice to hear. I like good things.
Woo-hoo! Good things
positivity.
Are great.
Positivity.
Especially as we go into the holiday season and we go on a 2-month hiatus. We want to wish you and yours a very happy holiday season.
Man, I'm mad again. I was doing so well. Ah! Why? See, we got duped by the schedule, too. We got duped in the episode. We got duped in the schedule. The promos duped us. We're duped.
We're like, well, there's at least 3 episodes, right? So that means we'll have Thanksgiving off. We'll come back. It'll be like 2 in December, maybe 3 if we get lucky. And it'd be great, right? Do 5 and then take a break.
Just roll them all out, man, from January all the way till May or whatever. And boom, done. Done.
Get some cool two-hour movies out of it at the same time. Be fantastic.
Yeah. I'll tell you guys what, though. Yeah, this is good advice. This is just sage advice. It's wisdom. Consider me Gandalf. Don't watch the promos. Just don't. If I had a nickel for every time, I would be a rich, rich man. After all these years, somebody told me what was going to happen because of the promo, and it never happens. Never. It's a tease. It's meant to bring you back. I mean, I understand that's your job. It doesn't make it less infuriating as a fan. I totally understand that. On the same token, you just stop going back for the beaten.
This is coming from Gandalf the Wise, and if you watch the promo, you'll turn back to Gandalf the Gray.
Oy, oy, oy. It's like having a bad drug habit. All right. Well, that's going to conclude this discussion. So now is the time to recommend The Blacklist to your friend, your enemy, your frenemy, your neighbor, the people that are coming over to sit outside and do Christmas dinner with. And when you do, please recommend that they listen and subscribe to the Blacklist Exposed podcast as well. All the case files can be found at theblacklistexposed.com and everywhere great podcasts can be heard.
For more great Aaron and Troy hijinks, especially over the 2-month break, you can follow us on your favorite social media outlet. I'm at Troy Heinrichs and he's at Aaron Smirks over on the Twitters. And together we are at The Blacklist GSM. Talk about the show, the podcast, or what you're doing this holiday season, or maybe even your favorite technique to take over the driver's seat.
Yeah, and I also do the Hollywood Outsider podcast if you're looking for some film and TV weekly fun.
Oh, yeah, big news, right? Big news. Wonder Woman's day and date.
Yeah, that's something that's never happened before. One of the biggest movies of the year is going to be in theaters where you can find them and on HBO Max on Christmas Day, Wonder Woman 1984.
I'm looking forward to that podcast conversation because I'm sure there's strong opinions of that.
All right, well, big thanks for listening. Don't forget to answer our profiling question. What say you? Are you team fake cat or team real cat? Hashtag fake cat or hashtag real cat?
And with that, we'll see you January 22nd.
Oh my God! I'm mad again! All right, have a good month or two.
Happy holidays, guys. Everybody. We'll see you soon.
Happy holidays. Be safe. Watch the Christmas Chronicles, too. Kurt Russell always makes me feel better.
Until next time, I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs. That's at Troy Heinrichs on Twitter. And if you want to learn more about me, just visit, about.me/Troy Heinrichs.
And I'm Agent Aaron Peterson. You can hear me talking about movies and TV on the Hollywood Outsider podcast, as well as Remake This Movie Right. We are available at thehollywoodoutsider.com or on Twitter at 5popcorn. Be sure to subscribe, download the app, submit your feedback, but most importantly, keep yourself off of
the Blacklist.
The Blacklist Exposed is a Golden Spiral Media production. Find more of our great podcasts at goldenspiralmedia.com/podcasts.
That's how Santa gets out of the Stargate.
God, Spader should pop up for a cameo, right?
The Christmas Crackles? That would be fun.
Yeah. I mean, it just like pops out of a portal. I think that would be fantastic. We have such great ideas.